A social commentator and activist has made a link between President Cyril Ramaphosa, Trevor Manuel, Steinhoff's Marcus Joost, and billionaire Johann Rupert. Papano Pasha says that between 1996 and 2005, Trevor Manuel, in his capacity as finance minister, was the sole trusting custodian of the government employees pension fund. The fund at that time of inception had assets close to 200 billion rand. She states that there was no board or governance, and therefore Manuel had the sole discretion of how employees' pension funds would be invested. We're on the line to activist Papano Pasha. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, how are you doing?
Very well, and yourself?
Yeah, thank you. And good morning to your viewers, to your listeners as well, sorry.
Thank you very much. Can you perhaps begin by unpacking for us this links between Manuel Ramaphosa and how Ramaphosa became an instant billionaire?
Well, if you look at how capital has actually exchanged hands from a private state to 1994, you will actually see that it's no different on how British imperialism actually exchanged hands to the nationalist government. So when I penned the piece, I had gotten information, insider information, from someone, a senior person who used to work at the government employee pension fund, and they just requested that I just look at, do some research on how pension funds have been managed since 1996. So what was also interesting is that the whistleblower had said to me that the Commission of Inquiry into the PIC, because the article itself also finds threats from the Commission itself. So the person just indicated that there was a level of misnomer in terms of how GEPF at the time actually operated. And if you look at some of the allegations that I make, which obviously have to be tested, if you can research it, it's there. It clearly shows that between 1996 and 2005, there was no board at GEPF, and Trevor Manuel was the sole trustee. And how the current president actually comes in was that when Alexander Forbes won a tender in 2002, they sold 30% of their shares to an investment company which was formed in 2001, which was called Millennium Consolidated Investment, which was then, started and then owned by the current president. In that, it then meant that with Alexander Forbes and MCI, if I might call it like that, you know, they were able to manage and have leeway to some of the monies which were controlled by GEPF. And my argument is that if, for example, allegations of impropriety at the PIC have to be investigated, then let's start when the PIC was formed. Let's not be selective, because unfortunately, if you look at the commission as it is now, the main target is Dr. Iqbal Sabi and Dan Majila, which I think is quite unfortunate, because you've had other people who've had direct access without a board, you know, of monies at the PIC.
Yes, so that brings us into perspective, you know, the link, as you said, with Ramaphosa and Manuel, and from where it started. Now, looking at some of the other names that have been thrown in, the likes of Marcus Joost and Johann Rupert, what are their links to the PIC?
Look, if you know, the PIC is an interesting animal, because the PIC controls trillions of pension funds, of government employees' pension funds. However, you've got asset management companies that are subcontracted by the PIC, and they are the ones who invest on behalf of the PIC. Now, who are these asset management companies? These are companies which are owned by the same suspects. You've got your Rand Merchant Bank, you've got your Investec, you've got your PSG. These are your Rupert, your Marcus Joost, the same people. I mean, there was an investigation by the Competition Commission in the health sector, if I may make that example, and they looked at what they called cost directorship and cost directorship of some of these companies and how they are linked to the PIC. And one example that they made was that of Johan Rupert, and they made an example using Rand Merchant Bank, Discovery Medical Aid, and Medicross. If you look at these entities, you know, they are connected to the same people, and these people have direct access to the PIC. So, I mean, the statistics show that I think it's, what, less than 5% of, you know, blacks have control or own asset management companies. So it's mainly your white people, the same people, who have direct access to the PIC. Now you then have someone like Dr. Iqbal, you know, of Sokunjalo. He then becomes the main suspect when you've got, you know, the same people who own the asset management companies, who own the banks, who own the big companies which get capital injection from the PIC, who are not investigated. I think it's a travesty.
Yes, you've been making reference to Dr. Iqbal Savey of Sokunjalo, and also the other name that has come in is Dan Machela. Now, do you believe that Dan Machela, the chief executive officer of the PIC, are being made the fall guys?
Well, it's also interesting because for the past couple of years or so, there's been an interesting silent battle of different media houses, and that would be your independent and your mainstream media. And there has been, you know, concerted efforts where there has been calls, for example, your Rupert-owned media and other media houses for an investigation into Dr. Iqbal and some of his investments from the PIC. So I think it's not a coincidence. I think it's not a coincidence. And when I say this, I'm not saying that Dr. Iqbal, if there might be findings that he's corrupt or Dan Machela, I'm not saying they're not corrupt. But all I'm saying is that there's been concerted efforts by those who control or who get major capital injection from the PIC to actually target them. So I don't think it is a coincidence. And what then happens is that ordinary South Africans are thrown bits and pieces of what is actually happening at the PIC. To this day, I mean, the commission itself, when, I mean, for example, if you take Steinhoff, which is part of the PSG group, they have not been hauled in into the commission to come and account. I mean, there's been a lot of impropriety, as I've indicated, with monies that come from the PIC. But the major role players have not been called into account. It's the same faces, it's Dr. Iqbal, and it's quite unfortunate. Because with commissions, you normally find that because, you know, you've got direct control or the president has got direct control, you then find out at times that the outcomes are predetermined. And I'm not saying that in this case it's the same, but it's just unfortunate that you've got an African in the, you know, in the person of Dr. Iqbal and Dan Machela who are being targeted, and those who've been controlling the economy for years and controlling, you know, trillions at the PIC, they're not called to account. It's just unfortunate.
Now, you also believe there's another factor in the conflict of interest regarding both President Ramaphosa and Manuel, which necessitates an investigation. Explain your thinking in that regard.
Well, if they had, it's not an allegation that Trevor Manuel was a sole trustee of GPF. It's not a coincidence. And if you look at, I mean, there was an article that I quote from the Mail and Guardian, which speaks of fast money, and they in fact quote President Cyril Ramaphosa, not myself. And in that article by the Mail and Guardian, which was written, I think, around 2005 or so, they indicate how he had actually made his money and how he got, you know, to have shares in some of these companies. But what I'm saying is that through the PIC, that's where some of these individuals and some of these companies are able to get capital injection. And if you do not have access to asset management companies, or if, for example, you do not have political influence, as we have seen, it looks as if it becomes difficult for many Africans to get access to capital. So for those, for example, like your Trevor Manuel, people who've got close links to your Trevor Manuel, people who've got close links to other people, it's clear that they were able to get capital injection from the PIC, and more specifically through asset management companies. You see, if you want to deal, or if you want to look at the PIC, the best point of reference is through your asset management companies and your actuarial firms, because these are the people who advise the PIC and where the money should be invested. So there is the link is mainly there. And as I'm saying, there's some of these asset management companies that have been close to some of, you know, political leaders, in particular within the African National Congress. They've got asset management companies and they've not been called to account. I mean, if you look at some of the shareholdership, even if you will have a particular leader saying that they're no longer part of a particular company, their shares are mainly with those companies, you know, that are that get capital injection from the PIC.
What about the unions? Where are the unions in the discussion? Why were they not more vocal on the abuse of power?
Well, interestingly, the unions are part of it's just a big mess. I mean, if you would recall, or if you are privy to this information, at a particular time, COSATU, in particular, decided that they can no longer rely on foreign funding or on foreign donors or on, you know, donors in general. So they opted to start investing, or started opening up investment companies. And one scholar called it labor capitalism, or it became known as labor capitalism, where unions became employees but employers at the same time. So it's just a quagmire, because if, for example, you take a union like COSATU, it has different investment companies. So they've got interest in some of these big companies. COSATU, for example, they've got one investment wing called Kopanok Ematla. Then you've got other subsidiaries of COSATU, or other unions within COSATU, which also have investment wings. If you take one of the biggest one of the biggest trade unions in the country, and that is NUM, they are part of, you know, FNB, which is like your what is called FNB Trust. So they've got shares in FNB. They've got it ultimately means that they're part of your Rand Merchant Bank, and so it's a big spider web, because you are also dealing with unions which are entangled in some of these issues. So how do they start to speak out? But over and above that, I mean, if you look at Dan Majila, the former CEO, his ascendance to the PIC was mainly as a result of the support that he got from unions as well. And if you look at some of, you know, the allegations that have come out, you'll find out that some of the unions actually got some investment or some capital injection after Dan Majila became the CEO. So it's just a big quagmire where the unions themselves are part of this big, I'm not sure if I should call it a scam, because what is happening is that pension funds of government employees who mainly can afford to even buy houses or cars are just being used to enrich a selected few.
Certainly a rather complex web that has developed. We appreciate the fascinating insight that you've shared with us. Fanel, thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, so that was a social commentator and activist, Papano Pasha, giving us some insight on the message that was circulated, you know, linking Ramaphosa, Manuel, as well as Joost and Rupert to, you know, this web of the PIC and who controls that PIC's funds and how certain individuals have enriched themselves, and in particular the president of the country, how he was able to enrich himself from just a union leader to become one of the most wealthy people in the world over a short period of time. Was there, you know, irregular activity in the whole process? That is the question. That is the, there's an attempt to untangle and unbundle that.